Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And today we are joined by Miss Allie Ballou, our nurse practitioner here at Skin and Tonic. And we're going to be talking today about something that we talk about probably daily at the clinic, yeah. I would say, which is weight loss. We said on the topic, it talks about Ozempic, but it's really just all the weight loss and GLPs, or it could even be about like the old fashioned way,
diet and
exercise,
surgery.
Because what we're going to talk about,
like, oh my the old fashioned way surgery.
Allie's going to the extreme. I was going to say the old fashioned way, like
diet and exercise. Who wants to do that?
A knife.
Which is what we should all be doing. But we're talking about like the changes that come with all of that, and which is a lot of the reason people are driven to us. I think that people chase a number and don't realize what that number is going to look like on their body.
Especially as we age too, our bodies change so much. And I think a common, like, I'll ask my patients, you know, in a new weight loss consultation, like, what's your goal? You know, what are we trying to get to? Do you have a number in mind? Do you have a goal in mind? Do you have like exercise goal in mind? You know, that you can run a mile or, you know, something like that. And commonly they will give me a goal that seems crazy in my mind. And they're like, well, in high school I weighed this amount. And I'm like, sister, brother, so many things have changed since then. We are so much older. Our whole body composition has changed. Like, your metabolism's not what it used to be. There, like, the percentage of fat and muscle has changed in our bodies as it does with age. And so it's interesting to see how, unfortunately, unrealistic I think a lot of people's expectations are. And I think it's important for me then to give them a more realistic expectation, and also to tell them, like, it's okay that you're not going to be what you weighed in high school, but that's normal. You know, it's not normal to usually weigh what you weighed in high school. And things change and our bodies change, and we have to change with that and change our mindset.
But I think it's also interesting that people reference back to those smaller times, but they also in their mind imagine when they lose the weight that they're going to look like that. Mm-hmm. And so they're also thinking that they're going to have a tighter jawline, yeah. You know, the bigger muscles, the, you know, tight face, the glowing skin, the, you know, all the tight pores. And in reality, what they don't realize is over time, there's so many changes that have occurred, as you say, that when we age. And when we have weight loss, it accelerates the way we can see some of those things. So instead of having that tight jawline and looking refreshed and young and full of energy, they look tired, the skin is dull, the jaws are, you know, sagging, because all the fat pads kind of decrease and we lose that support. And it happens in the face and in the body. And so they end up with a lot of extra skin, lax skin. And so kind of talking to them about that, setting realistic expectations about the number, but also like aesthetically, this is what we would expect to occur. And I think focusing on overall health is important, because we talk about with the weight loss here, the benefits from it, and a lot of them may be motivated for aesthetic purposes, but also they will have secondary health benefits, when in reality, it probably should be the other way around, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We're motivated by health, but should have secondary aesthetic. But there are things that we can do, and there are things in aesthetic clinics that can be done to kind of mitigate and combat that as you lose the weight.
I think it's like one of the things that surprises me is like, it's almost like until they reach that number, they don't think anything about their appearance, like about their look. I think people are so focused on getting that 15, 20, 30 pounds off that they're watching the scale. And then it's almost like an aha moment. One day they look in the mirror and they're like, I look so bad. I have a patient, she lost 40 pounds. She looks great. She's maintained. And she says her words to me last week were, I look like I'm melting and I don't like it. And it's exactly what you're just talking about. She had looked great at this number at some point in her life. And now with the changes in her skin, her laxity, she's, you know, perimenopausal. And so she's got all these changes going on. And now all of a sudden that number doesn't look good on her. So now we're on a sculpture journey. Because I told Chris, like, this is like from when we started way back, I was like, we really did a disservice. And Gal Derman now has like kind of taken off on this. But when we started GLP-1s, we should have also started Sculptra just for the patient's sake. And we didn't do that. I think it's something I talk about more now.
Yeah, I think all of us are more aware of it now. Because number one, I think we all see so many patients that are undergoing some sort of medically directed weight loss. It's very common now. Lots of people are on some sort of weight loss assisted, are getting some sort of medical assistance for their weight loss. And I think us being able to identify and say, on this journey, here's what we expect you to undergo. We have better ways now of knowing, like, if you lose, you know, X number of pounds, here's what we'd expect to have to do aesthetically to give you that look that you're aiming for. I think we've done a really good job in the past year or so of, as an industry, kind of coming up with some of these treatments that are a little bit better understood. For a while, we didn't know if it would work when you're undergoing weight loss, because the mechanism of some of those weight loss drugs, we were concerned if they would interfere with like your ability to make collagen and make elastin. But we know now that's not true. And so we can use things like our hyaluronic acid fillers, and you know, Sculptra is one of our favorite products here. And we can use them in combination with each other. And we do them all throughout that weight loss process. So by the time that you get to your goal weight, we've also done a great job of keeping your face looking you know, pretty healthy, the tissue looking healthy, collagen and elastin production good, not losing all that mid-face volume. We can replace it with filler. But I don't know that we've done a great job of doing this in the body. And so I think as we start looking at the future moving forward, coming up with ways that we can really like address some of the issues that we see with the body proactively. And we know through some of the studies that have been done by these companies, they look at it, and a big percentage of these patients say that they would love to do something preemptively or before they look like, if they knew it existed. But most of them think that I have to lose the weight, and in their mind, they have a picture of how they'll look and they don't think about it. So I think it's up to us to educate them on that.
Yeah. I think people just think they're going to be smaller. Like they don't think about the volume changes in the face, the skin laxity that it comes with it, the changes in the facial shape and structure that then almost enhances a bad word to use for something that has a negative connotation, but enhances the jowled look. And you know, with these like volume changes in the face, I mean, sometimes they're like very drastic. Because, I mean, that's one of the first places a lot of people lose weight.
Mm-hmm. And our younger patients, it seemed to, you know, obviously like anything else, they have a better ability for the skin to contract and their tissue to look nice. But our older patients, and we have a fair number of people that are around our age group, we're in our 50s now. And so once you start getting in your late 40s, 50s, 60s, and start losing lots of weight, definitely the tissue has changed. It's not going to contract the way it did in our 20s and 30s. And so we have to start looking at ways to force that. But the other interesting thing is, if you look at some of the studies on these medications, we're not just losing fat, that's what we're thinking about, but we're also losing muscle mass and lean body mass. And so I think it is important to talk to patients about ways that they're going to preserve that, either through an exercise program or through some of the devices that we have to stimulate muscle and maintain muscle development, because we haven't been focusing on that a lot.
That's like why we work out, because we know that it's going to... We know that
me and Jerry every morning get up, hit the gym, hit the weights,
and that's the reason. Mm-hmm. That's why we.
That's what probably one of the first things I genuinely do talk to my patients about is I tell them, you know, this medication isn't necessarily smart. It's not picking at your fat cells only. It's not doing one thing. You're just, you know, it's decreasing your appetite, and therefore you're eating less and even less calories in, and you have a caloric deficit, then you're going to lose weight. And it's simple math, but what it doesn't do is specifically make you lose fat. So you will also lose muscle. And so I talk to my patients about protein goals, about doing like weightlifting types of exercises, muscle building exercises, which is not always what people want to hear, right? They want to hear injection, quick fix, I'm going to be skinny. But the reality is that you can be fat skinny or skinny fat. Which way do they call it?
Skinny fat.
And so I think that's what we see a lot with these GLP patients is that they're skinny fat. They still have that skin laxity, that fatty tissue. They're not muscular. They don't look necessarily healthy, but they're smaller.
I think that healthy look, though, a lot of that is the skin quality. And I think it was interesting because for a very brief moment in time, there is this thought that your skin would get better because of the anti-inflammatory properties of the newer weight loss medications, the GLP specifically. And there was a thought that, hey, this is going to make our skin kind of glow and look better. And I think in general, we're seeing that not to be true, that it does have some effects that we're starting to understand a little bit better, to know that actually that it can make your skin look dull and not have that more dehydrated, so not plump, maybe even accentuate some of those fine lines and wrinkles that we see, that it will get worse as we lose weight. And so I think that's really important that we work on that skin quality. And that's where a lot of the biostimulants come into play, right? And so there's a lot of different ones we can use. Sculpture happens to be one of our favorite, but we can also do radio frequency microneedling, traditional microneedling, CO2 lasers, plexer, all therapy. There's like lots of things we can do for that, but we have to start that plan kind of like as you go along, because if we wait until you've lost all the weight and then try to like come back from that, it will take months and months for us to rebuild all of that that you've lost. In terms of the muscle building, I mean, outside of people going to the gym, we have options, but have you guys used the machine at all that we have in the back? Go on YouTube and you see the look on Allie's face.
I did it on myself once. I
did it on myself once, right? So it's interesting because we have a machine here that's electromechanical stimulation to help preserve and build muscle, but we really don't even like use the machine or talk to patients about it. So I don't know if it's because of a time factor that we don't tend to talk about, but I think it's something that we should explore, because patients don't like to go to the gym, and we should encourage that still. But I think we also have options that at least they can be aware of, that we can help maintain that muscle while they're losing a lot of weight. But it's going to require commitment, whether it's at the gym or coming to the office to be attached to a machine to do it for you. But there's got to be some sort of stimulation or workout of the muscle. We don't have anything at this point that's, you know, magic that we're going to be able to really replace exercise totally.
I see with... while we're talking body, like the other thing that people don't expect is the skin laxity. And so we just had a patient yesterday, Friday, talking about her knees and wanting to know what could we do on knees. And then the crepiness in general on like her arms, and not even bat wings. I'm just talking generalized crepiness that she's experiencing. So there are so many things that go along with it. And then there's some things that you can't fix at the gym. Like you can have the best workout regimen ever, but if you lose 30 pounds, you're going to have some changes to the face that you got to fix that shit at Skin and Tonic. Like you can't.
Yeah, we do have old therapy for abdomen and for the backs of the arms to help to tighten and boost collagen. So I think that's something that we need to, you know, probably take more advantage of here as well. It's funny when you talk about anytime somebody says like the crepiness above the knee, I always think about my mom had a gym teacher, and she said she can remember like being in like middle school and her gym teacher had those lines above her knees. And my mom said she used to think that's so pretty. And that she was like a young girl, and this lady was like probably a middle-aged woman, you know, and she always thought that she was a very pretty lady. And she said she can remember thinking, I can't wait until I get older and I have those lines above my knees. And now she has them, of course, and doesn't like them.
You'll say, how does Rhonda feel about them now?
I don't think they necessarily like bother her a lot. It's probably from sun damage more than anything, realistically, on my mom. But
But Rhonda's probably also doesn't bother her enough to come get them fixed, because she doesn't like injections.
She doesn't like getting stuff done, no.
She's not going to face a needle over it.
I'm kind of with Rhonda on that. Like
I think my elbows like bother me.
They're terrible. I don't know why you haven't fixed them already.
No, I know.
So I've got a question. I just asked this off camera, and I think you were doing something different. Would you rather look good in clothes or naked?
I did hear you ask that, and I agree with Allie's answer, in clothes, because you're the only one that sees me naked, so a lot more
That's
people
my
see
thing.
Me in clothes.
Yeah, I care about what...
Sierra and I both
Not that I don't naked. Care. Don't. Not that I don't care about changing.
But I figure if you look good naked, you're going to be okay when you put clothes on, for the most part.
But I feel right? like in this scenario that you've given us, it's one or the other, yeah. So I don't feel like that.
Yeah, I didn't give you an either or. I was just curious.
I mean, if I can have both, I want both.
Maybe what we'll do is we'll put some pictures of clothed and unclothed, and they can see it on the YouTube channel.
Nobody wants to see this unclothed, believe me.
Get our views up. Tune in to see Dr. Crowley. A lot of people have seen your butt, though.
Yeah, that's true. But when I lost weight, talking about body and all this stuff, right, I lost probably 50 pounds a couple of years ago, quite a bit. And it went out of my face and my butt. And we did lots of sculpture to kind of replace all that. And so, yeah, from that, we did even put in a class, because it took a lot of sculpture to replace the volume, because that's one of the areas that it goes. And I also not a lot of people see that, but I want it to look good in clothes.
Yeah.
And so I had to do something to make it look good naked or fill it back up so it'll look good in clothes. Mm-hmm. It's probably time for a repeat treatment.
Probably.
About that time for a tune-up. We can put some of those on the YouTube channel. I want to do that, and I want to laser my birthmark off.
We treated it once with the air lace just to see how it would respond. So I did the air lace in the shape of a J. Since he wouldn't get a tattoo with my name on it, I removed his birthmark with my name.
That's crazy.
It just lightened.
Could you see the J?
Yeah. You don't have to get a tattoo with my name. Let's remove that birthmark.
All right. Anything else on Ozempic, weight loss meds, body face?
I'm sure there'll be more to come because this stuff is not backing off.
No, it's really, we see it growing in popularity. Yeah. But for patients that are interested in it, definitely like consider the aesthetic implications at the same time you start your weight loss. So Right. Even if your provider is not doing that, I think this is the other thing for patients to know, that if their providers aren't doing the aesthetic treatment, there are options and we can start that simultaneously. So we can come up with a plan and we can look at that based on your budget, give you options and look at how we're gonna do this over literally 6 months to a year to come up with a custom plan for you for the parts of your body that may bother you or your face. So that way at the end of your weight loss journey, you're not looking tired, deflated, melting away, that you'll have that nice snatched jawline and glowing skin that you want.
Yep.
Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.